Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live here tonight on this Wednesday, April 16th from Washington, D.C., the headquarters of American Free Press. Check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net, and also the headquarters of the Barnes Review History Magazine, which is published six times a year. Nice big fat double issues with lots of good history, revisionist history, on all sorts of topics that you need to know about. Well, the Barnes Review website is barnesreview.org. And I think, unless I'm mistaken, you can also check it out at barnesreview.com. But in any case, it is definitely at barnesreview.org. Barnesreview.org. That's BARNESREVIEW. Just like it sounds. Barnes. Like a barn in the field with an E at the end, as in a last name. Barnes Review. Never thought about that before. Okay, well, the reason why I bring up the Barnes Review is because tonight on this program we have a guest, and as I always say, a very special guest. He has been published twice now in the Barnes Review, in the July-August 2007 issue and in the September-October 2007 issue. The guest tonight is Professor Ray Goodwin. He's actually not teaching right now, but he did teach history at the college level in the state of Texas for some years. He's had a varied career, and as some of you may recall, those of you who've been listening from the very beginning, he was actually the first caller that ever called this program when I first started broadcasting. He just happened to tune in to RBN for the first time that night at that time, and lo and behold, he found that I was broadcasting. And the reason why that's interesting is because I had been in touch with Ray Goodwin going back to about 1995, 1996, sometime in that time frame. We had corresponded, we had talked on the phone, but we never actually met until back in 2006, I believe, when he came to Washington and spoke at the conference jointly held by American Free Press and the Barnes Review. And at that time, he spoke on the topic of liberal bias in academia, and, you know, that's a subject I want to get him to talk about sometime here tonight. But tonight, the specific reason why we brought Professor Goodwin on is because I wanted him to talk about a very interesting article that, as I mentioned earlier, appeared in the September-October 2007 issue of the Barnes Review entitled True Confessions of a Holocaust Denier. And I do have to thank my friend and Professor Goodwin's friend in Texas, Jim from Texas, who reminded me a week or so ago that I had been promising to bring Ray Goodwin on this program for a long, long time. And, you know, I just kept forgetting. But I'll tell you what, we got him here tonight. Thanks to Jim from Texas, and also thanks to Mark Glenn, who did some expediting for me since my computer was down. But in any case, we are going to bring Ray Goodwin up here, and we're going to hear a very articulate man, a very sensible man, talk about a very controversial subject. And I know this issue of the Holocaust upsets people for a variety of reasons. But, you know, what's interesting about Ray Goodwin is that Ray Goodwin is, he's an American, a native Texan. He's not a neo-Nazi. He's not even a Nazi. He's someone who is tried and true of the American grassroots. He's an intellectual. He's someone who's well-read. He's not someone who has an axe to grind. And guess what? He doesn't even have a German accent. In fact, I would guess from his last name that he's probably of English descent. Not that it really matters, because he's here to talk about truth, the facts and the myths about the Holocaust as he's divined them through many years of research. So stay with us, folks, and we will be joined directly by Ray Goodwin when we return. This will be an interesting show.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. using the same principle. Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention. Ron Paul did not quit. He is still in the race. Most Americans do not understand how the election process works. The media is lying. John McCain does not have the Republican nomination. The popular vote is just a straw poll, believe it or not. The delegates have the power over the elections, not the voters. After the mainstream media wrote a hit piece on how Ron Paul quit, many supporters quit as well. Ron Paul has stated he will continue his run for presidency as long as he has your continued support. Ron Paul has a plan. The delegates have not yet been voted on, and they are voted first in county, then state, all the way to the national convention. Go to our website at ronpaulflags.com and click on Why Ron Paul Will Win. That's ronpaulflags.com to find out more on how delegates work. Stand your ground, go for the win, and fly a Ron Paul flag today, or call 731-664-1526 for more information. That's 731-664-1526.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and once again, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you here at republicbroadcasting.org. I'm in Washington, D.C., but there's a lot of Texas in the air tonight. Republic Broadcasting is based in Round Rock, Texas. We've got a guest here tonight from Victoria, Texas, and we just heard a commercial for Ron Paul, the Republican congressman from Texas who's really stirred up a revolution here. We just heard a commercial from one of our sponsors here on this network, ronpaulflags.com. They are making these Ron Paul Revolution flags available. And you know what? Even though the Ron Paul movement seems to be going in different directions, no one's quite sure what's going on, folks. The fact is that the Ron Paul Revolution has just begun. And, you know, we need to support these good sponsors that are keeping the Republic Broadcasting Network alive through their sponsorship of all of the good programming on this network. So I do encourage you to patronize the good folks at ronpaulflags.com. Get one of these great banners to show off where you stand on the issues. And keep in mind, you know, we wouldn't have this kind of good broadcasting. We wouldn't have this good professor on here tonight with us. So without further ado, I am going to go to our guest tonight, Ray Goodwin, and welcome him aboard. Ray, how's it going tonight?
Hey, Mike. Wonderful. I appreciate the very kind introduction.
I think I got it all pretty accurate, didn't I, Ray?
Well, bless your heart. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be on the show, and I appreciate this opportunity to expound on the subject that you talked about, the article that I wrote for the Barnes Review. And if I may, Mike, let me start off here with a quote from a gentleman named Herbert Spencer, a philosopher, thinker, who lived from 1820 to 1903. And Mr. Spencer said, there is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. And if that nails the thoughts and any kind of possibility of discussion on this subject of the Holocaust, I think that does. And what you said, Mike, about my heritage, my dad was Scotch-Irish.
Okay.
The Goodwin name, Scotch-Irish. He did have a little bit of Germanic inheritance from Bavaria. And my mother, being a Whitfield and a reader, was English and a little bit of Germanic, a little bit of Spanish. Her great-grandmother was from Madrid. But the point being is my primary inheritance is not German. And so my pursuit of this topic was simply for truth and exoneration of people falsely accused. And I want to make this statement for all the listeners that may be thinking about calling in, or just to let them know where I'm coming from on this, Mike. And if I can say this, the Jewish influence and the direction in this country is, in my opinion, the albatross that is strung around the neck of the United States of America, because the interest of those folks runs totally counter to everything our founding fathers projected for this country, which was a sovereign nationalist republic that had respect for all but entangling alliances with none. And that's the antithesis of the Jewish ethos of internationalism and their free trade, their open borders. And how does that relate? Well, what I call the Hola hoax, other people call it the Holocaust, I call it the Hola hoax, and that's their prime tool for pushing that poisonous viewpoint of internationalism upon us. And that's why I vociferously attack and counter this massive extortionist financial scam, a scam that's designed to control by pushing guilt upon a very gullible and woefully trusting populace of Americans. People have to be convinced that the revisionist perspective on the Holocaust is not merely opinion. This perspective is based upon facts, logistics of demographics, the chemical science, the forensics, and yes, even mathematics. And until the exterminationist or those who believe in this legend can answer our questions and counter our facts, they are on the losing end of this effort to get to the truth. And their persecution and their silencing of anybody who dares to ask legitimate questions about this tale of genocide and them punishing them with fines and imprisonment, well, buddy, that just speaks to the total absurdity and weakness of their claims of gas chambers and extermination. So that's where this person comes from on this issue, and we can get into the technicalities of it and whatever we want to talk about, but that's my standpoint on it right from the start, Mike.
Ray, I wish I could have expressed it so well myself. And I'll tell you what, I know that there's a lot of listeners out there, including a lot of good patriots, who really, right up front, are just horrified by this concept of people questioning the Holocaust. Now, I'm going to pose a question to you because it actually indirectly relates to something that you mentioned in your article, True Confessions of a Holocaust Denier. Now, I remember years ago, there was an elderly Jewish woman in New York. I believe her name was Edith Vardy, V-A-R-D-Y.
Okay.
And she had a tattoo, a numbered tattoo on her arm that had been tattooed on her while she was an inmate in one of the concentration camps during World War II.
Right.
And Mrs. Vardy said, and I'm paraphrasing her, she said, well, she said, there are people out there who deny that the Holocaust happened. She said, here's the proof that the Holocaust happened. I have this tattoo on my arm. I didn't put it there. The Germans put it there when I was in a concentration camp. And she went on to say that after she died, she wanted to have her arm amputated and put on display to prove that the Holocaust did happen, mm-hmm. and that all these people, such as you, who were raising questions about it, were just absolute liars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you respond to something like that? Because there's a lot of people out there who would cheer Mrs. Vardy on and say, yeah, Mrs. Vardy, you're really showing up these Holocaust deniers for the liars that they are.
Well, good point. And I think I even addressed that in my article that the Barnes Review printed, Mike, mm-hmm. that very issue, and that was someone shows you a tattoo, and they say, this proves that there was an extermination campaign, this proves that there was genocide. Uh-uh. Not in a legitimate court of inquiry or a truth-seeking engagement. What that tattoo proves is, honey, you have a tattoo, and that's all it proves. Now, you tell me, who put that tattoo on you, and when did it happen, and let's see. That shows you have a tattoo. That shows that someone, if they forcibly put that on you, was trying to keep an identification record of who you are, where you were, whatever. It in no way, shape, or form proves gas chambers, genocide, or even the attempt at extermination of anyone. So take your tattoo and show it around. I'll show you my tattoo. I don't really have one. If I did, it'd probably say U.S. Marine Corps or Mom or whatever. And that doesn't prove a thing but that I have a tattoo. So you've got to give me evidence. You can't give me that and say this proves that there was an extermination campaign. So take your amputated arm, put it on display wherever you want to put it, but it doesn't prove a damn thing.
Well, I think that pretty much summarizes it all, and I would hope that anyone out there who was beginning to have any doubts can kind of get the concept of what we're talking about here. The same argument I've heard, Ren, we are coming up to a break here, but I've heard that same argument put forth that, oh, how dare you deny the Holocaust? Look at all those pictures of all those concentration camps. Haven't you seen the stacks of dead bodies?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, these are the kind of things that are thrown at us, Ray.
That's right. You
to just kind of generally address that.
That's very correct. And certainly, it's abhorrent to see stacks of bodies and dead people. But, you know, the label underneath that photograph, the caption underneath it, or if you're watching it on television in some sort of supposed documentary, that person speaking is telling you what those photographs stand for and what they are, and they may say here's 10,000 dead Jews, when in actuality, is it really? And if it is, how did they die? Was it by typhus? But it's the emotional impact that these photographs have, and when you have someone mislabeling them or misidentifying them as to what they are really are not, it still carries that emotional impact. And people are, oh, my gosh, and they're astonished. Well, no one would lie like that. I mean, that's just too big to lie about. Well, that's where they're very mistaken. The bigger the lie, the more likely it is to go over. And there is an agenda behind that and a reason behind that.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Even the famed Simon Wiesenthal Center was caught with its pants down a couple years ago. They published a picture of Jews, presumably Jews, inside a concentration camp. And in the background, they had what appeared to be smoke, and I think this was pointed out, smoke was coming out of a chimney. And the implication, so they said, was, or what we were told was that this was smoke coming out of one of the gas chambers. Well, people did some research and found original copies of that picture and found out that, in fact, the original picture did not display smoke at all. So that had been added into the picture at some point and was passed off as proof that Jews had been exterminated and that their bodies had been burned in gas chambers.
Right.
Or not burned in gas chambers, but burned in crematoriums. But even that in itself, and I don't need to tell you this, Ray, even that in itself would only prove that people were cremated.
That's
and
right.
That is what you do when you have a lot of people dying of typhus, which is what happened in the concentration camps.
Certainly.
The fact that they cremated people doesn't mean that they gassed them to death before it.
Yes.
Okay, well, we are already at our first break here, but when we come back, I just want to set you loose, Ray, and set you loose.
Very good.
Right.
Very good. I have another comment on the mislabeled photograph.
All right, please do it.
Thanks,
when we
Mike.
Come back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Professor Ray Goodwin talking about the facts and the myths about the Holocaust.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
All right, folks, welcome back. We're here with Professor Ray Goodwin from Texas talking about the facts and the myths about the Holocaust. Well, I just want to let Ray loose here because he has a lot of information to give us. Go ahead, Ray.
Mike, regarding those photographs that are so powerful when they're shown to people, certainly, you know, you see emaciated bodies gracious, you know, just it affects you and you think, oh my Lord, and it's savagery. And so the caption beneath that photograph, or what you're told, and it carries a lot of impact. After the Germans were beaten and their country was occupied there in World War II, at the end of World War II, there began a process of what we know is called denazification, meaning the people had to be rid of all those evil ideals of National Socialism. And part of that was to push guilt upon them by showing them photographs of the tragic scenes in concentration camps and the many piles of dead folks. And there was an audience of German civilians that were required to watch this particular presentation of denazification. And among those pictures was a photograph of many, many bodies piled up that were obviously fixing to be burnt they were told that by the narrator there that these were Jews who had been gassed at Buchenwald and Dachau, and that they were piled up and fixing to be burnt. And there was a German doctor, a physician, in that audience watching, and he looked in that pile of bodies. There was his mother, who had died in the vicious air raid upon Dresden in February of 1945, along with hundreds of thousands of innocent victims, refugees that were bombed by the British and American air forces. And the bodies there, of course, had to be done away with to prevent the spread of disease. And they were being told, here's a mass of Jews that have been gassed and exterminated by the evil Germans. And it turned out to be citizens from Dresden, German citizens, civilians, who had been murdered by Allied bombing and yet presented in these photographs as gassed Jews. And so you've got to be very careful when you're shown photographs and told that this is what it really is.
Well, you know, another example comes to mind, too, is that there were thousands and thousands of American soldiers who were taken through the Dachau concentration camp and shown a room, a chamber, which
yes.
they were told was the gas chamber.
Correct.
And one of the people who saw this was my friend Mark Lane, the anti-Zionist Jewish
right.
attorney. He was led through there, and now he knows the truth, like so many other people, that even a report put out by the American Jewish Committee a few years ago acknowledged that there were never any so-called gassings in any gas chambers on American soil. They even go so far as to say that the so-called gas chamber at Dachau was never used.
Yes.
And yet we have all of these funny little details that taken together are a real contradiction of this patchwork of lies and misinformation and deliberate disinformation that is being used today in the fashion which you've described.
Yeah, in 1960, Dr. Martin Brosat, this was a Jewish fellow, but very big in German history and whatever, came right out and said, look, there were no exterminations in the camps on German soil, as you said, Mike, and that includes Dachau, Buchenwald, and many other camps there, and yet, you know, he says there were none. They all occurred in Poland, which at that time, of course, was behind the Iron Curtain, not open to investigation. And so then here you have, but it wasn't widely publicized, but then all of a sudden you have these German camp personnel who have been executed or stuck in prison for this supposed extermination of Jews, which then is admitted by Dr. Martin Brosat as never having taken place on German soil. So, okay, wow, you know, why isn't this thing brought up and why isn't this discussed and whatever? None of the gas chambers in Germany proper were actual reality. They were built after the war. We just had to show what it was like, and they were fixing to use this. And when I started studying this, I went back to school to work on my degrees at an advanced age, not as a 19-year-old, and I had done a tremendous amount of reading on my own. And I went back in these history books and these lessons that we had to use and were taught from there, said all these things about gas chambers and things like this. And so I was able to question those with my professors at the University of Houston, Victoria, where I was working on my BA and master's degree, and I would throw questions at them that they couldn't handle. And when you put these things together and say, wait just a minute, there's an agenda going on here, and some things just don't add up. These camps, were there concentration camps? Absolutely. What were they for? They were labor camps. They were not murder camps. They were not camps of extermination. The Germans were in dire need of labor, and certainly slave labor, forced labor, call it what you want. But these folks were in
Ray, I hear that music coming up here. When we come back, I'm going to hit you with a tough one. I'm going to ask you right now, what did the Germans use Zyklon B for then?
Right. Good.
Keep that in mind.
Very good.
I can hear people out there asking that question right now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to find out, if the Germans weren't killing people with poison gas, what did they have Zyklon B for?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention. Ron Paul did not quit. He is still in the race. Most Americans do not understand how the election process works. The media is lying. John McCain does not have the Republican nomination. The popular vote is just a straw poll, believe it or not. The delegates have the power over the elections, not the voters. After the mainstream media wrote a hit piece on how Ron Paul quit, many supporters quit as well. Ron Paul has stated he will continue his run for presidency as long as he has your continued support. Ron Paul has a plan. The delegates have not yet been voted on, and they are voted first in county, then state, all the way to the national convention. Go to our website at ronpaulflags.com and click on Why Ron Paul Will Win. That's ronpaulflags.com to find out more on how delegates work. Stand your ground, go for the win, and fly a Ron Paul flag today. Or call 731-664-1526 for more information. That's 731-664-1526.
Do you want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. Gas Freedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to GasFreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to GasFreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's GasFreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cashflow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We've got Professor Ray Goodwin on the line here at republicbroadcasting.org. You know, what we're talking about here tonight, let's put it this way. If Professor Goodwin and I stood on a corner in Germany or Austria or 8 or 10 other countries in Europe and around the world and called rape a good thing, if we said child molestation is a good thing, it would be considered quite fine and dandy under freedom of speech, but in those countries I'm talking about, we could go to jail for 5 years in some places for talking about this. Now, we have Professor Goodwin quoting Martin Brodsatt at the Institute for Contemporary History in Munich saying that there were no gassings on German soil. But a lot of people come around and say, well, what about in Poland? We have proof, they say, that the Germans ordered massive amounts of a chemical known as Zyklon B. Well, what were they using that Zyklon B for, Professor Goodwin?
Mike, Zyklon B was a chemical preparation. It was used to kill disease-bearing lice. And in that particular era of war and disease, and you had people concentrated at different camps and things like this and being brought in daily, these people were infested with the typhus-bearing lice, and their clothing, their hair, their bodies, and if that were not treated, then you're going to have typhus spreading throughout these camps, which would cause fever, illness, sickness, and it would sap them of their strength. They would be useless as labor, so the Germans said to get rid of the typhus-bearing lice, the best preparation they had was Zyklon B. which is essentially hydrogen cyanide. And to do that, when these folks arrived at camp, they were usually, their heads were shaved because the lice were in their hair. Their clothing was taken to a fumigation center, and the Zyklon B was used there to rid those clothing, their clothing, of the disease-bearing typhus lice. And then once they were cleaned and whatever, they were, the clothing had been fumigated. It was given back to them, of course, to wear. And this was the way of keeping typhus under control in the various camps, because it was rampant. Even at the end, towards the end of the war, when the Americans and British were advancing in and taking the camps, you would see signs on the roadway for even the vehicles to drive slow and don't stir up any dust, because even the dirt and dust around the camps had typhus-bearing lice upon it. And so don't stir up this dust, make it fly through the air, drive a little slower. And so that's why Zyklon B was used. It was to kill off a disease-causing lice. It, in other words, it was used to preserve and protect life rather than to take life.
In your article for the Barnes Review, and incidentally, people can go to the Barnes Review website at barnesreview.org and get ordering information where they can get a copy of this September-October 2007 issue of the Barnes Review. It's a double issue dated September-October 2007, and they can read your whole article, which goes through a whole array of things that, you know, we won't even be able to get into even in the most cursory fashion here tonight. But what I thought was particularly interesting was your analysis of this chemical aspect of Zyklon B and your own work around cyanide gas when you worked for the DuPont company many years ago.
Yes. Yeah, Mike, out there at the DuPont plant, which is about 13, 14 miles outside of Victoria, in my particular job, there was always the chance of being exposed to hydrogen cyanide. It was one of the chemicals that was used in one of the processes on the plant. And my goodness, were we ever drilled towards the correct handling and the safety aspects of being around hydrogen cyanide, a very, very deadly gas. It is permeable to the skin. If you get around it, it can come into your skin. You know, like your minimal protective equipment would be goggles and gloves, and if you're going to be in and around it, certainly breathing apparatus. None of the guards in these German camps, none of the eyewitnesses ever said a word about such equipment that the Germans had access to or were using, and things like this. And it's a deadly, deadly poison.
And yet we have so-called, and I even hate to use that term, but we have so-called Holocaust survivors today who claim that they worked in dragging the bodies of their fellow Jews and others out of the gas chambers immediately after the gassings had were done. How could they have survived?
That's exactly the point. Dr. Robert Forreson addressed this so well in his brilliant article called The Mechanics of Gassing, wherein he, after all of his expounding on that very problem, Mike, he came out and said, if you find people who are convinced that the gassings were real and whatever, ask them how were the bodies removed after the gassing. Because all these eyewitness accounts, you read the Nuremberg reports, the trial, the testimony of these so-called eyewitnesses and survivors, that 15 minutes, 10 minutes after the gassing, these German soldiers, so callous and hateful, went in there still smoking cigarettes or eating their sandwiches, grabbing these gas Jews by the hair, dragging them out, pulling out gold teeth, etc., which is so fantastic, fairy tale, garbage. It's impossible. It is impossible. If you go in like that, there's going to be, if there's any such thing, there's going to be gas trapped among the bodies. It's going to be on their bodies. Anyone who touches them without personal protective equipment will be exposed to it and also die from it. These people, when they came up with these kind of fairy tales, shocked the world with them, and immediately everybody's thinking, oh, my Lord. But, hey, just look a little bit at this, look in depth at it. It could not. It is impossible. And that's why I say I like to address the problem of this Holocaust business from forensics, from science, from the actual reality of things. And when I did that once in class, Mike, at the University of Houston, Victoria, I only did it in response to what was said to me in class about being a non-believer in that. I took it from the point of, look, if these people were indeed gassed, and you've got Zyklon B around, how in the world could you take them out of there? How could you handle that stuff without infecting yourself? Hey, you become a victim yourself. And the claims of these so-called eyewitnesses and survivors that say that this stuff actually happened, all you have to do is look at the chemical makeup of Zyklon B, hydrogen cyanide, talk about what it's made of and the effect that it has. And it's an impossibility. Those things are so impossible that they claim happened. And so you start from there and think.
You know, why this is so important in the context of discussing this period known as the Holocaust is, which I think this is the bottom line of it all, there are so many people, when they hear you talking about these cold, hard facts of science, they come back and say, oh, well, the Germans shouldn't have put those Jews in concentration camps in the first place. Well, that is an argument that has nothing to do with the reality of the science. They're coming at you from this side angle, this side viewpoint. They want to argue the morality of what happened. They want to argue the circumstances of history that led to the point that those people were put into concentration camps, just as, I might add, Japanese Americans were put in concentration camps on American soil. But they refused to face these technical aspects, these scientific aspects that you have addressed directly here tonight and in your article. And it goes well beyond that. There's even the question as to, you know, they talk about gas ovens. They constantly talk about the Jews being put in gas ovens. Well, do they mean they were put in gas chambers, or do they mean that they were put in crematorium? Because a crematorium is not a gas chamber, and vice versa.
Right. When I would voice that, Mike, one of my fellow students said, oh, come on, Ray, this was wartime. Meaning, the laws of science, I suppose, do not apply in wartime. and I asked the lady who said that to me, he was close to my own age. anyway, I asked her, I said, well, let's look at it this way. In 1944, what was the freezing point of water in Cincinnati, Ohio? Fahrenheit. Okay, 32 degrees. Was it the same in Berlin? Yes, 32 degrees. Now, the fact that World War II was going on, did that change that and make it 40 degrees? There are laws of science and biology and all that are laws, and you're not going to change them by twisting and perverting and trying to make these scenes fit what you want them to fit.
Ray, in your article, you go beyond the issue of the actual gassings themselves, and you quite effectively put forth the proposition that there was even a physical impossibility for so many bodies of people who had supposedly been gassed to have actually been cremated at the number levels that subsequent testimony given by former German officers who had been tortured, they gave in testimony. That testimony is totally contradicted by the truth about how many bodies can be cremated at one time.
Well, that's part of my personal research, Mike. You know, you read things that other people say and you're astonished, and I thought, well, there is a crematory down the road from Victoria. We don't have one here, but 60 miles to the east of us toward Houston at Wharton, Texas, there's a crematory. I went there. I toured the facility. I talked to the technician. I got all of her input. I asked her about the possibility of multiple bodies being cremated in one oven, which is no, it won't work. It won't work. And I learned so much from talking to this lady over there that this is an impossibility, and the time it takes. And you know, back then when I did that research and all, which is a few years ago, still you're talking quite an advance from the 1940s as to what they have available to cremating a body and how much time it takes under optimal conditions. People never take into allowance that after you cremate a body, you have to cool down that oven and remove the remains before you can cremate the next body. And I think, as I mentioned in that article, Mike, if you put the pencil to that 4 million that were supposedly cremated, gas cremated, and all in Auschwitz alone, that the Germans would have been cremating bodies until around June of 1972. So come on, Mr. Eyewitness, Mr. and Mrs. Holocaust survivor, how do you account for that? It's an impossibility. It is a total impossibility. It cannot be done. And you're telling me, oh, okay, well, they didn't do it in all the individual ovens. They dug a 50-foot trench, 10-foot deep, and piled bodies in there and cooked them that way. Well, let me tell you something. Do a little research, and you're going to find out that the entire area around Auschwitz was built upon a swamp. The water table in that area is 4 feet deep. And that means, for many old South Texas boy who knows, if you water table, you dig down, and if the water table is 4 feet, at 4 feet you're going to start having water seep into the hole you're digging. Now, at Auschwitz is 4 feet deep. So now we're told they dig 10-foot, 15-foot deep trenches, and they pile thousands of bodies in them and burn them. Well, they can't do it because waters would seep into the hole, for one thing. Number two, you cannot, I don't care what fuel you use, you cannot cremate a human body in an open pit because the temperature required to cremate that body cannot be reached. So get off of that stuff.
Particularly when we're talking about hundreds.
Yes.
Or even thousands, as we've heard, thousands of
yes.
bodies being piled up and burned. You know, the thing about it is, Ray, the average person, I would say probably about 99.999% of the people on the face of the planet have never had occasion to incinerate a human body, let alone 100 bodies or 1,000 bodies or even more. And so when they're told that these massive burnings took place, which, of course, there's never been any pictures of it.
Right.
Okay, but the average person just accepts this as a matter of fact.
That's right.
And doesn't crank in these very specific scientific realities that contradict these stories that we've heard time and again.
Absolutely. And, Mike, you know, people have to remember, it takes fuel to cremate these bodies. What were the Germans using? Well, supposedly coal. Coal. And that to cremate an average human body of, say, 140, 150 pounds. It could be 100 pounds, it could be 180. But it takes approximately 60 to 65 pounds of coal to cremate one body. So you're talking over 250 million tons of coal and residual ashes. The lady, the technician in Wharton, when I toured the crematory, I asked her all the questions. She said after cremating one body, we have to cool the oven down for a couple of hours, and she said even then when you open the door to it, it's hot enough to singe the hair on your arms if you open it too soon. Then she said we clean this out and we have approximately a shoebox full of ashes. And these ashes are not like cigarette ashes, Mike, which was portrayed in that fictional Schindler's List movie, like ashes floating in the air and the evil German soldier flicking them off of his uniform. These aren't like cigarette ashes. If you do any grilling in your backyard with charcoal, that's the kind of ashes they are.
A friend of mine actually once introduced me to his late father by asking me to take an urn off the fireplace mantle and open it up, and I reached in, and there were these, they were like pieces of small rocks in there.
Yes.
And he said, meet my father.
Well,
he had quite a sense of humor. He was a Scotsman, by the way. But in any case, that's what we're talking about. And even to achieve that, as I understand, in a crematorium, they actually have to grind the remaining bones up.
That is correct. The lady told me that you'll have a shoebox full of ashes, and she said there will be pieces of bone that they put in a grinder to make a consistency of dust to add to those ashes. And so my point in discussing this with other folks is, okay, 4 million shoeboxes full of ashes are going to make one hell of a mound if you try to bury it. And that doesn't count the ashes that are left over from the coal that is used. And so the impossibilities are just too numerous to even mess with any thinking person.
Ray, we're already at the final break. When we come back, I just want to give you a few minutes to just kind of wrap it all
good.
Up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, quite an interesting show here tonight. Couldn't get to any of the callers. Wanted to let Professor Goodwin have his say.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, folks, if you ever had any doubts, I don't think you have any doubts anymore that we've got a very articulate guest here on the line tonight. He can talk about a lot of subjects well beyond the Holocaust. I think he should have his own show here on RBN. But anyway, that having been said, let's let Ray Goodwin wrap it all up here.
Thanks, Mike. Probably the main thing that people need to realize today that this Holocaust business is about money. It's about the reparations that are paid yearly to individual Jews and the nation of Israel for this so-called extermination program. And that those reparation payments are based upon 6 million dead. So therefore, that's why they are so adamant in fighting revisionists, because any reduction in that number would mean a reduction of the so-called reparations payments for Holocaust survivors. Right now, there are 16 countries in the world who outlaw any questioning of the Holocaust, any denying of the Holocaust, and the United States of America could very well be the next one on that list. The suppression under this doctrine of political correctness, we're talking about the USSR, the Soviet Union of the 1950s, the peddling of guilt. Guilt, of course, means control. There's a climate of fear in this country, Mike, that's dangerous for all of us. You know, this political correctness and climate of fear, we can't say the N word. Oh, my God, we can't say that. Well, I can tell you what, soon it's going to be the J word. We can't say that either. All of our legitimate scholarship and research has been labeled as hatred, anti-Semitism, and people are actually running from a truth which could help set them free. And I want to thank Jim from Texas, my friend Randy over near San Antonio. These are informed men, intelligent men, thinking men, and they have both come forward. I heard Jim on your show last week say something about, look, you know, you reach this age, you're tired of putting up with the velvet glove approach. Well, they're exactly right. It's time for no more kid gloves on this subject. It's too late for that. We got to stand against this censorship, this intimidation by a very few but very financially powerful and politically influential group on this Holocaust stuff.
The same people, Ray, that are trying to shut people up on the Holocaust are trying to take away our guns. They're the people who are trying to get prayer, who've succeeded in getting prayer out of the schools. They're the ones who favor the tax system as we have it today. They're the ones who support the Federal Reserve money monopoly. It goes on and on and
open,
on. It's all
open borders and free trade.
Absolutely.
That's it, Mike. And I appreciate the time tonight. I thank you. And, you know, I've asked anyone who's listening this evening, I'm sorry we didn't get any calls.
Calls, but I wanted to let you talk.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. But you can certainly email me. I would appreciate it. I'd like to hear from you, whether you agree, disagree, or whatever. But my email address, may I give it, Mike?
Go ahead, please.
Okay, it is GoodwinR@suddenlink.net, and that's SuddenLink.net. GoodwinR@suddenlink.net. I would appreciate hearing from you and the comments that you have to offer. And Mike, thanks for the opportunity for being on tonight.
We're going to have you back on again real soon, Ray, and we're going to talk about some other issues.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here tonight. Doubt it if you must, but doubt it at your own peril, because where we're going is not a very nice place, and only because we have people like Ray Goodwin speaking out, and only because we have the Republic Broadcasting Network, can we hear these truths. You can handle the truth. That's why you're listening to this network. So stay tuned, because you're going to hear more.